Good morning, everyone. It's amazing to see like such a full house. I mean, it's like it's crows everywhere on the roof and the rafters. So I thought that this morning I'd look a bit at section 8 of the Genjo Koan, because just somehow with the despair that I've been feeling every time I've sneaked a look at the news flashes on the phone, and become certain that the end is here, or if not the end, just it's like, could it possibly get more worse? And then it gets more worse, and then it gets more worse, and then it gets more outrageous. That, you know, at this moment it's hard for me to see a way out of this. So it was kind of very helpful for me to land in this section of the Genjo Koan. So I digress a little bit, but are you having a hard time hearing? Oh, okay. The other day it really occurred to me as I came down to sit on the same mat that I've been coming down to for over the last 20 days at the same times, doing the same things, how each time it's been a completely different journey through space. You know, I've been everywhere in the world and back on this cushion, through time, wind, rain, heat, cold, UPS trucks, lawn mowers, cicadas, and each time the Jikido bell is never really quite the same, and the Doan bell isn't really quite the same. My body and my breath are not really quite the same. The chanting, it's never really the same experience. But looking from outside at this, you know, or like before I arrive, imagining what I'm going to be doing, you know, I forget what the experience is. It's astonishing even to myself that I'm not just restless and bored out of my mind. You know, it's like, how could I possibly do the same goddamn things again and again and again and again? But, you know, I think in some ways that's exactly part of it. You know, I am bored out of my mind. And that's a wonderful thing. We so rarely give ourselves the opportunity to do that. So after a while, that incessant, you know, critique on what I'm doing and what's happening just becomes, you know, as useless and old as a worn-out tire. And so this quality of mind, this aspect of mind, just eventually starts to drop away. As Roshi mentioned last night in her parting evening words to us. And as it drops, it has nowhere to go really, but directly into the moment, which is the mystery of where life actually happens. You know, I had written this a few days ago mostly because I tried to be just prepared this time, which was a new experience for me. But I was sitting into the second floor bathroom, and it's the same bathroom that I've sat in for the past 20 something years. Whenever I can get into that bathroom, it's like that is my place. And it's like looking out the view from that window over the roof into the trees and the sky that I've gazed at now, you know, so many times. And it's so different each year. I see how different I am each year, and yet it's so the same. It's just one of those sort of magic portals into the multidimensionality of reality, of the moment where past, present, and future are just fluid. Dogen says in the beginning of that passage, when Dharma does not fill your whole body and mind, you may assume it is already sufficient. When Dharma fills your whole body and mind, you understand that something is missing. You know, that hit a little bit of a chord there on a couple of counts, but it's just certainly been my experience that the less I actually know about something, the better I am at summing it up. Just with a pithy statement, something clever, maybe a little humorous, and then it's sort of like, that's that. But it's never really more than about an ankle deep, if that. And I've been making them a lot lately in regards to what's been going on. And, you know, afterwards I'm like, what? What were you thinking? And I've been thinking about that, and you know, it's like these declarations I can say for myself, I think sometimes arise out of a need to be conversational in a way, or sometimes it may be to appear or feel myself as being smart or witty, but on some deeper level, I think it's also just so that I feel like I have some kind of handle on or control on what's happening through this kind of superficial understanding. Better to have some understanding than acknowledge that I have no understanding. And in a way, this is not really a big deal or that problematic, except when I actually have moments when I believe my pronouncements to actually be the truth. And the whole truth and real, and I don't sort of acknowledge them for what they are, which is human responses to in the next line he says, for example, when you sail out in a boat to the middle of an ocean where there is no land in sight and view the four directions, the ocean looks circular and does not look any other way. You know, and I was thinking about that, and I was thinking just how easy and habitual it is to see and create circles where there are none, you know, other than from the point of view of our own sailing boat. And again, you know, how much I do this all the time, which is fine as long as I and we remember that that's what it is. The view of one tiny rowboat in a vast ocean. Our boat. And that these perceptions of our experiences are shaped by our views. So this can play out in any one of millions of ways. But for instance, due to one's previous karma, a person might think that whenever they put themselves out, bad things are sure to happen. That actually, really, everybody in the world is just waiting for an opportunity to judge and consequently attack. And if that is one's view, you know, you can imagine that that might color a lot, particularly to do with putting oneself out into the world. So one might never know that one even has this voice, or that this is a voice, or a view, and consequently never put oneself out anywhere. But over time and close observation, voices in the mind saying that this is an absolute truth become a little less omnipotent. And what was kind of an impenetrable curtain, impossible to see through, has the possibility for becoming more of a gauzy veil. Not gone, but no longer completely in control of steering the boat. One sense of self is a little less solid, a little less fixed. And, you know, from that space, one might even be shocked to discover that other people may see or experience the exact same situation that you perceive as a hell realm, as an opportunity, or fun, or possibly even a good time, you know, a way to connect, that this is actually might be a good thing. And that's helpful when you can begin to see how others experience something radically differently than how you yourself see them. In that way, that helps us to see that actually we are just having an experience of the thing. It's not necessarily the thing. Well, it is the thing, but it's our relation to it. Dogen goes on to say, but the ocean is neither round nor square. Its features are infinite in variety. It is like a palace. It is like a jewel. It only looks circular as far as you can see at that time. All things are like this. So it's like, imagine how the ocean appears to a fish so differently than if you're a boat out in the middle of the water. To a fish, it's like you're sort of inside this endless palace. Or from the perspective of a bird in the sky, it might be a gigantic, shimmering jewel. Which is also different than my own image when I stand on the shore and look out. Doesn't look circular or like a jewel or like a palace. It can appear many different ways, often empty, cold, sort of moving, but flat, so actually in some ways not really moving. And if I see, like I'm at Cape Cod and all of a sudden I see a seal pop out through the water, it's just like the heavens exploded. It's like, what are you doing there? That's just so amazing. Like, oh my God, there's a seal in the water. Can you believe this? Like, look, 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 there's a seal in the water. You know, I mean, like, how crazy is that, really, when you think about it? You know. It's like completely not seeing this entire vibrant universe happening below the surface, which is actually more extensive than what we have on top. All things are like this. People, places, daily activity, politics. And so I try to remind myself of this, like often, time after time. Whenever I catch myself neatly summing and wrapping up a person, a situation, or government, you know, the limitations of my view and understanding have never really been more apparent to me than now. Things that I was so sure I had at least some understanding of, not so much really at the moment. You know, what's been hidden and disguised is now really in our faces, bursting into view. The corruption, the racism, the greed, the anger that are now just running around wild out in the open are not new. You know, they've actually been stewing and fermenting and quietly permeating throughout all of our power structures. So, you know, I'm not in any way, and I'm not about to try to even attempt some kind of public analysis of what's happening right now, and I'll spare you my snapshot theories, of which I have many. But, you know, it's still constantly this sense of disbelief every time I pick up the phone and something new unrolls. And I think this is a really tremendous reminder for us of the importance to remember that it is in the unseen rooms of the palace under the surface that our monsters and demons are born. You know, those energies that when left unseen and unaddressed eventually spring up and grab us by the throat. When some sides of the jewel are glimmering in the light, others are always in darkness. And as Toki alluded to so beautifully yesterday, in his talk, it's just so vital that we shed light on those places that are uncomfortable and unseen, both inside and outside ourselves. Because without this observation and awareness, really, no healing or transformation is possible on a personal level, and I would say no justice is possible on a societal one. But I do want to say, so as not to leave us in the hell realm, that on the other side, we have to remember that just because at the moment I or we may not see the possibilities in front of us, that doesn't mean they don't exist and that they won't manifest. Both are true. You know, there is, in the midst of all of this, there is also so much wisdom and compassionate action being generated on so many fronts, in so many different ways, all over the world, that are really new and different, with a greater awareness of what's happening in the underbelly. That we don't know, you know, really anything can happen in either direction. Or I shouldn't even say either or, just in any direction. Dolgen goes on to say, though there are many features in the dusty world and the world beyond conditions, you see and understand only what your eye of practice can reach. In order to learn the nature of the myriad things, you must know that although they may look round or square, the other features of oceans and mountains are infinite in variety. Whole worlds are there. So, you know, I found that as we do open our eyes and our ears to the nature of the myriad things, infinite in variety, surrounding us all the time, we simultaneously discover all those dimensions of our inner world. And that it's primarily through these relations with others, particularly, that we discover ourselves. And certainly how I've discovered myself, far beyond the shore of who that I think that I am or believe myself limited to be, both mortifying and wonderful. The inner landscape expands with all the myriad things. You know, I think I've said this before, you know, but at Sesshin, in particular, because it's so concentrated, this being with people, which I'm never with people like this any other time than here. One of my, I think, most profound insights has been how much I instinctively blame others when I mess up, or when I'm uncomfortable. It's like faster than the speed of light to want to displace that onto someone else. And the searchlight, you know, for any reason outside myself just snaps on. And over time, that's kind of become one of those sensations that Tokyo was sort of alluding to, because it's not something that I consciously see myself doing, but I can start to feel in my body, you know, after I make a mistake of some sort, you know, this tightening in my stomach, but also moving up into my throat, and there's a kind of parched quality, and I can feel my lips sort of compressing, and my brow just getting more intense. And when I start having those sensations and those feelings, it's like a signal, like, oh, what is going on here? And then the light turns within and try to settle there. And when I do actually allow myself to just sink into the discomfort, that tends to bring things into consciousness. And with awareness lies the possibility of forgiveness, for change, and for some humor. And, you know, the magic of it. But it's not really magic. It's actually a lot of hard work. Is that those things that disturb us the most become closest in some ways. The most dear. And also the world of form may reveal its open nature, as Jisei so beautifully pointed to in her Samu reflection. When we actually remember that we don't already know what everything is, the mystery of being, just beingness, has the opportunity to reveal itself in a banana and a cool glass in the early hours of darkness on a bedside table. Dogen ends this section with, "It is not so. It is so not only around you, but also directly beneath our feet or in a drop of water." So it's kind of amazing the way, like, science is now basically finding everything that the teachings have been saying for thousands of years. But there actually are, now we know, worlds upon worlds within a drop of water. Or if you listen to Soten, an ant or three ants. But we can't see this from the outside looking in. We need to enter. So as Dogen also said, looking at a speck of dust is not the same as sitting within a speck of dust. So it's in our practice that we may enter, that we do enter. Last week I took the watercolor workshop offered by Seiki here at the Grail, which I was very much looking forward to, but also very, very apprehensive about. You know, I've always loved watercolor painting, but I had this feeling, this sense that I could never do it. You know, it somehow seemed too open without kind of the parameters or boundaries that I'm used to with a pot. And I had this feeling that I would just be sort of paralyzed, lost, and not know what to do. And, you know, I guess for my ego, that was a very scary proposition. But being in a workshop on Sesshin, you know, I just entered there, aware, very much aware. I didn't try to push it away this time and be like, I can do this. I was just aware of it. And letting myself be a little apprehensive and lost and not be stopped by that, to just try to go with it. And so as things will, they just keep going, and the class, you know, began, and it just started with submerging actual sheets of paper into water and then putting them on actual boards and smoothing and flattening it down. And as that activity began, it just continued, using large brushes to just lay down large fields of color, and then just opposing fields of color, and then just merging the fields of color. And then each step just inevitably and naturally elicited a next step, which elicited a further response, and so on, until somehow there was just a sense of there's nowhere else to go with this. And then it was done. I was lost and searching until I wasn't. And what was interesting is it was actually the being lost and the searching and finding my way around in that place was exactly what was interesting. You know? That's what makes it alive. And the destination kind of emerged of itself. And it was actually always a surprise. It was never in a million years where I thought I was going. And then it was time for the next piece of paper, time to go somewhere else. Inquiry and response come up together. Right where I feared there would be nothing, where the danger of failure is right where the new worlds await. Let's all try to notice our various boats and to remember that along with everyone else, we are always in a boat. We are the boats, and we're not separate from the ocean. And whenever we can, take that leap over the side. Keep inquiring inside and out. And just, you know, for all of us, by all means possible, let yourself respond, which may well mean taking a side.